Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. You can have a seat today. Get your Bibles out, and as you're having a seat, I want you guys to check out the overheads for a quick recap from last week.
There's a draw in our culture towards new philosophies, traditions, and truths, but the Word of God stands strong. If you're not rooted in Him, you'll be pulled by the current.
Don't break rank. Stay in your spot. Stand in your place. Be who you have been called to be.
Retail to somebody else.
Stay steady amidst the currents. Rejoice to see your good order, and I rejoice to see the steadfastness of your faith in Christ Jesus.
The power of prayer
erupts.
Hey, come on, guys. Can you
have an undivided heart? Don't let your heart be divided. Don't let your heart be drawn away.
Not to feel alone, but you have.
Jesus, wait a second. My college student, I don't know what happened to them. They went to college and they lost their brains. But do you work here? Do you work in the universities, Jesus? Oh, yes, I work here. I work everywhere. You can do it. I have answers and I can help.
Retail for some of the power of prayer.
What's moving you?
What is moving you? Is it the current of our society, or is it the word of the Lord? Today in Colossians chapter number 2, we're going to continue on in our series. Now, don't worry if you missed the initial parts of the series. Today's message does stand on its own. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 6, launching from our understanding from the word of the Lord that we built on these past couple of weeks. It says this in verse number 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. One of the trends that I see in our society these days, I think is kind of fun, something that's been kind of neat to see people having a resurgence of, is looking at their ancestry. You know, anybody done the DNA test? Have you guys done the swab or anything like that? Okay, a couple of you guys have. It's kind of neat. I love the commercials where like a guy comes out in lederhosen and he's like, I'm a German through and through, you know, and next thing you know, he does the swab, he takes the test, and all of a sudden he's walking out in a kilt with a bagpipe over his shoulder, right? And he's like, man, I figured out really who I am, right? In fact, Pastor Mike Bryan, our senior children's pastor, is the most interesting man on the planet because he did his DNA testing, and I was amazed to hear the stories. He said that as he went through his DNA testing, he found out that his ancestors, in fact, the guy that bears his same name, William Bryan, maybe you knew him as Mike Bryan, but his real first name is William Bryan. William Bryan was considered to be the Prince of Ireland. Something happened in the government and he was actually kicked out. And so they took their family and they took a boat and they came over to the United States and they settled in the area of Kentucky. And they were the first to bring over thoroughbred horses to the United States of America. You know where this is going, don't you? They were the first ones to hold the Kentucky Derby. You didn't know that we had like Kentucky royalty here on the campus, huh? In fact, it blew my mind because he said, you know, when you start to register with these things, they start to open up because of your DNA strain and they start to make connections for you. And they went back into his history and he found out during the time of the Crusades that one of his ancestors was actually considered to be the king of Jerusalem. I'm just like, Pastor Mike, I did not know we were in the presence of royalty here. This is amazing, you know? And we see a lot of this in our day and age. People are taking a look back to see where they came from. You know, I think that's really the emphasis of what the word of the Lord is saying in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6, is you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. See, the world pushes us for change. There is a cultural current coming against our society today called new and called now. It's very subtle, but it's very powerful. It is a powerful current. It's an undercurrent. Let me illustrate it to you this way. I was in the car with my son the other day, and he looked at me and he said, Dad, when are you and Mom getting your new phones? I was like, I didn't realize that I needed a new phone, son. I think my phone works just fine. It makes calls. I can text with it. I can surf the internet. I can take a picture with it. I mean, there's really nothing wrong with it. In fact, I don't think I need a new phone. You know, this thing has tried to take over my life. I think I'd rather get an old phone. Where's the flip phone? You know what I'm saying? Give me the old phone back. His life was a lot. In fact, maybe I should just chuck this thing out the window right now and just be free in Jesus' name, right? But I was like, son, I don't need a new phone. And he's like, but the new one's out. I don't care. you know, my phone works just fine. Why do I need a new phone? Maybe when the sucker starts breaking down, if I'm talking and it doesn't work, if it's frustrating, that's what, then I'll get a new phone. But right now, what I have works just fine. I don't need a new phone. And yet the society, the culture says, well, the new one's out. You got to get it. Every 3 years, auto manufacturers are putting out a new model. Why? Because they want you to have the newest. Oh, I like my car, but man, they got the new one out and it looks shiny. It's got all the features. I don't have all the features, right? And yet the Bible says to be content with such things as you have. Now, don't get me wrong on this point. I don't want you to be at a store and see a shirt that you like and say, well, I can't buy it. I've got a shirt and the shirt works just fine. If you want the shirt, buy the shirt. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? If you like a pair of shoes or a belt or something like that or a bag, go get it. It's okay. If you are prosperous enough to do that and you're being a wise steward, God has no issue with you purchasing something new. If you wanted a new car, you know, the old car is running down on miles and, you know, yeah, it works, but man, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're bound, hello, God has no problem with you having stuff, but if stuff has you, there's a problem. If you are bound, if you are one of those people and you just can't wait to get the newest, the latest, greatest, and you feel like you don't have status or you're not okay without that thing, listen, that means you're relying on that thing rather than relying on Jesus. And now you've gotten swept up in the cultural currents rather than staying with the simplicity of Jesus Christ. See, as the world is pushing us for change, God is pushing us to go back to the beginning. He's wanting us to take a look at our roots. I want to take you on a journey for a moment because the Bible says, as you therefore have received Christ. And I want you to think about your own life. Now, our brother Sean asked us, how many of you are Christians in this place? And I saw most of the hands in this room go up. Now, some of you didn't raise your hand. And if you didn't, if you know that you're not saved, you're not a Christian, maybe you're concerned about that. You're wondering whether or not you are saved. We will take care of that at the end of the church service. So don't leave early. Stay put all the way through because we're going to talk about your life at the end of the church service today. And make sure before you leave this place that your heart's right with God. But for most of us in this room, we raised our hands and we said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I want to just take you on a journey for a moment. I want you to think about your life before Jesus Christ. Now, for some of you, you got to go way back, right? Because at age 8 in the children's ministry, you gave your heart and life to the Lord. That's okay. Because think about the faith that you had as a child when you heard the message and you just responded and said, yeah, I want Jesus. I want to make him Lord of my life. I want to live my life for him. And at a young age, you had that faith and you just received him like a child. That's how you got to enter anyway. So like a child, as a child, you received him. And you've just been living in him ever since. That's awesome. That's wonderful. Some of you guys, as a teenager, as a young adult, you've been making some mistakes. You've been rebellious. You've been doing your own thing. And now if you talked about some of the things that you did in those times before Jesus Christ, you might be a little bit ashamed. And yet, there was a time where light broke through the darkness, time where God got a hold of your heart, and where you said, yes, I need to turn over my life. I can't save myself. I need Jesus. And so you turned over your heart and life to Jesus, and you never looked back. Some of you in this place, as an adult, you were already married, already had children, already established in your job, and yet someone on the job loved you enough to step out and to tell you about Jesus, and something clicked. You had been living a natural life, and now all of a sudden, supernaturally, everything changed in your life. You could never be the same, because now all of a sudden you met up with Jesus and you said, man, why did I wait all this time? This is so good. This is so wonderful. This is so awesome. I needed this. And you gave your heart and life to Jesus. Just think about yourself before Jesus Christ and think about that moment that you said yes to Jesus. See, if we're going to take a look back, if we're going to look at what's going on, and if we're going to walk in him, we need to remember, how have we received him? How did that happen? What took place in our heart? What took place in our life? No matter what age group, no matter what scenario we just mentioned you were a part of, or maybe there's another one that we didn't mention, how did you receive them? These things are going to be consistent across the board. First thing is this, is that you had to receive them in faith. It wasn't anything you did. It wasn't your works. It wasn't because you earned it. It wasn't because you bought it, right? It was because you believed it. You heard the message that Jesus Christ went to the cross and he died for your sins, and that he was raised again to life, and you just simply believed the message and said, yes, you received Jesus Christ. You received your salvation. And that's for all of us. You cannot please God without faith. You can't even start your walk with God without faith. In fact, in the Bible, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, this wasn't something that you had to earn. God didn't tell you to go climb the highest mountain. He didn't tell you to give all sorts of money. He didn't tell you to do any great acts or great feats. He just told you to simply believe the message, to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And when you said yes, you entered in by faith. Second thing is this, is that you had to receive him in humility. You had to receive him in humility. Now, we have to define humility before we go any further, because a lot of people think of humility like the way Charlotte's Web, the little children's book, defined humility, right? The humble pig, right? Because he was low to the ground. And we think, well, maybe if I'm just a pig, maybe if I'm just a swine, maybe if I'm wallowing around in the mud and oh, woe is me, and I'm just this old sinner saved by grace, right? And I'm not a worm, I'm not anything, I can't even be counted worthy, right? You know, and we start self-abasing and putting ourselves down, and yet that is a whole bunch of humbull. Can we talk for a second? That's a lie that the devil has given you, because there's a whole lot of ineffective Christians because they think that they can't ever think of themselves as anything. They think that they should just be a lowlifer wallowing in the mud because that's what humility really is, when that's not what humility really is. The Bible tells us that Moses was the meekest man on the earth, and yet Moses himself wrote that about himself. I'm really a humble guy. I'm really the meekest man on the earth. No one else was any more meek than I was. So humility is not talking of yourself like a less than, but really humility is being dependent on God. Complete, total, utter dependence on God. I could not save myself. I needed God to reach down into the pit that I was in. I needed to take me up out of the muck and mire. I needed him to set my feet upon the rock. I needed him to clean me up and to give me a purpose and a direction. I didn't know which way was up until God showed me which way was up. I need God. That's what true humility really is all about. Notice in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, he says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, notice it's the Lord Jesus. It is the Lord Jesus. Lord means boss. He is the leader. He is the one who is the initiator of our salvation. You had to come humbly and say, I'm not the boss. I'm not the Lord of my life. I'm not the leader any longer. Jesus is the Lord of my life. And you had to humble yourself and say, I can't do it. I can't make it on my own. I need Jesus. So I confess that Jesus is now my Lord. He's the leader of my life. And look at this, and believe in your heart, there's that faith again, that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. So we came in faith. We came in humility. Third thing is this, is that we received him in the Spirit. Your natural man did not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You were not born of the flesh a second time. It was a spiritual thing that took place. In fact, every time we give an altar call here at this church and we give people an opportunity to be saved, to give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ, we reference this section of scripture. In John, the 3rd chapter, verse number 5, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit. Now, born of water, what does that mean? All of us, when we were babies in our mama's womb, we were surrounded by water. Is that right? And we were born of water, but not only of water, not only the natural birth, you had to be born again, born of the Spirit of God. It wasn't a natural thing. Nicodemus says, wait a second, Jesus, I can't crawl up into my mother's womb again. Jesus said, no, what is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot attain to your salvation by natural means. This has to be a supernatural, spiritual thing that takes place. Therefore, it wasn't your natural man that was born again. It wasn't your soulful man that was born again. It was the spiritual man, the real you on the inside of you that was born again. Because when you got saved, you looked around, you looked the same, smelled the same, but brand new on the inside of you. So notice what the verse said in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, look at what it says, so walk in him. Now, anytime you hear the words walk in the Bible, it means to live out your life in this manner. It's talking about our conversation, our way of life. So when it says to walk in love, it really means to live a life that is loving. When it says to walk in the Spirit, that means that you are to live out your life in the Spirit. So he says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, I want you to live out your life in the same manner. That means if we take a look back, if we look down to our roots of our salvation, if we look back at where God took us and the process, those three things that we just mentioned, then we can understand how we are to live our lives as we move forward. Is anybody listening today? Okay. First thing is this, is that our walk is a walk of faith. Just like we came to Jesus in the faith, now we have to live out our life and live a life of faith. Now, I was racking my brains. How do I illustrate this to this wonderful congregation? How do I explain this? And I was reminded of a friend of mine when I was a kid that I grew up with. Maybe you grew up with him too. His name is Indiana Jones. Check out the overhead screens. All right, Indy. Wow. That's a whole lot of chest hair for church. I should have told them beforehand. At least it wasn't snakes, right? Praise God. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 7 says, for we walk by, oh, come on, play with me today. We walk by what? We walk by faith and not by sight. How many of you know that sometimes when God is asking you to step out in faith, it feels like Indiana Jones on the edge of that cliff, right? I can't see anything. It's impossible. I don't know what to do. And yet God is saying, I want you to take a step of faith. I want you to get out of your comfort zone. I want you to move past what you can see and what you know in the natural. And I want you to step out. And there may not be a natural bridge that you just didn't see. It may be that the hand of God will come up and the word of God will sustain you and support you, and will lift you up, and will carry you through to the other side. See, God may be asking you to step out in faith and start to witness to people. Maybe it's on the job on your lunch break. Now listen, on your lunch break, because when they're paying you to do a job, you do the job, right? But on your lunch break, maybe you have some time and you want to start bringing your Bible to lunch and you want to start opening it up and reading it there. And when somebody says, hey, what are you reading? You say, I'm reading the Bible. And they say, oh, are you one of those Jesus freaks? And you say, why, yes, I am. Thank you for the compliment. But Pastor, I'm not good at talking. I'm not a preacher like you, Pastor, and I've never led anyone to the Lord. All God is asking you to do is just to take the first step. You know, Moses wasn't good at talking either. And yet God used him to deliver the children of Israel, confirming his word with miracles, signs, and wonders. And you can read his sermons in the book of Deuteronomy. That guy was talking all the time. He just needed to take the first step. He just needed to get out in faith. Maybe God is provoking you to, hey, I want you to start praying for people. I've given you a gift, and I want you to start to step out and use that gift. I want you to lay hands on the sick. When you see a sick person, ask them, can I pray for you? Can I put my hand on your shoulder? And can I ask my God if he will heal you? You say, but wait a second, that's uncomfortable. That's weird. What if they reject me? Listen, I have never met a sick person. I don't care if they are the most staunch atheist you've ever met in your life. If they are in hurt, if they are in pain, then you ask for prayer. They say, come on, bring it on. It can't hurt, right? Just bring it on. Maybe God will heal me. Maybe there is a God, right? All of a sudden, they're a believer all of a sudden, right? But just start to step out in faith and believe. Take that step and God will meet you where you're at, confirming the word. Some of you guys, maybe God is provoking you and saying you need to get out into business. Maybe it's time for you to start to fund kingdom initiatives. God wants to use you to build wealth, to resource the kingdom of God. And you're saying, but wait a second, I'm not a businessman. I don't have an education, anything like that. And God is just saying, you don't need to have all that. You've got me. Just start to walk in obedience. Take the step and I'll meet you where you're at. Can I get on your toes a little bit? What if God is asking you to start tithing? What if God is asking you to start giving? Whoa, wait a second, Pastor. You asking me to give my money? No, I'm not asking you to do anything. I don't care. You can either live blessed or not. That's your choice, right? But Jesus, in the word of God, says, I want you to bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Jesus said, don't neglect your tithe, right? And so he says, if you test me in this, what if you take a step of faith? What if I lack, Pastor? If I give 10%, I'm going to lack. Yeah, you're going to lack that 10%, but you're going to gain the blessing of God on the 90%, and God will take that 90% and make it spend like whatever it needs to spend like. But you have to believe in order to step out. See, a lot of people want to believe Jesus, the provider, but they don't want to believe Jesus, the Lord. I told you I was going to get on your toes. But you don't call on just Jesus, the provider. Jesus will provide for your needs, but Jesus is Lord first. And if the Lord asks me to give my tithe and my offering, then he will be my provider, right? A lot of people want to call on Jesus, the healer, but they don't want Jesus, the Lord, to tell them to start to diet and exercise and leave the cake alone, right? Pass it by, eat a little bit less, get up and walk every now. See, and yet then we say, well, why didn't God heal me? Well, God is wanting to pour out his spirit, pour out his blessing on you, but there are things that you can do in the natural to partner up with the spirit of God, right? Your natural and God's super makes a supernatural experience. A lot of people want to call on Jesus for a lot of different things, and yet when it comes to being Lord of their life, Jesus the deliverer, I want Jesus to deliver me from this problem and this pain and this sin that I'm in. And yet Jesus, the Lord, was telling you, put down the bottle, stop messing around, get out of that bar, get out of that club, get away from that ungodly relationship. It's going to drag you down with the currents. But it takes faith and it takes stepping out where you can't see it. But wait a second, what if I'm lonely? Wait a second, what if I doesn't feel good to my flesh? What if people reject me, but God is saying, I don't care about any of that. Just look at me, believe me, and step out in faith. See, our walk is a walk of faith. We ought to live out our lives in faith. Secondly is this, is that our walk is a walk of humility. We are to walk in humility. Now, I've got a picture I want to put up on the overheads for you, okay? Because I want to illustrate this point. Our walk is a walk of humility. The picture is of a turtle on a fence post. Let's take a look at this for a second, okay? That's a pretty ridiculous image, isn't that? And yet, that turtle is me. You're probably wondering, where is he going with this? Some of you guys, as Pastor Dan gets up here and starts to minister, you say, wow, the eloquence of his words, the amazing passion in which he preaches. Oh my goodness, you know, when he speaks, God just starts to talk to me. I know that's what you're thinking, okay? So it's all good. I'm playing. But guys, can I be honest with you? I'm not anything. I'm a punk kid from Moreno Valley who didn't know where he was going, what he was doing, who God took, and I just started to follow Jesus, and now I'm a turtle on a fence post. What does that mean? That turtle did not get there by himself. He had help. Are you listening? I didn't get to where I'm at because I'm so great, I'm so eloquent, I'm so wonderful. I am not the best preacher in the world. I do not have the information or the revelation that you need. God alone has that. I'm only here because somebody lifted me up and put me in a spot of prominence, put me in a position. That's all I am, is a turtle on a fence post. Now listen, in the same way, if that turtle stays up there by himself, he's gonna die. Why? Because he needs to eat, but he can't get anywhere. He can't move anywhere. He can't do anything without some more help. I'm a turtle on a fence post. I need some more help. God, I'm up here. It's great. It's wonderful. I can see all kinds of things, but God, I need to eat. God, I need to move. God, I need to do something. And unless you get a hold of my life, God, and unless you put me where I need to be, God, I'm going to die. Lord, I am so dependent on you. I need you, Lord. I need you. And not just me. You're a turtle on a fence post too. You didn't even know that. You didn't realize today when you walked into church, the pastor was going to call you a turtle on a fence post and you would like it. And yet that's all of us, isn't it? We need the help of God. We need the hand of God. We need the blessing of God. Oh God, we need you now more than we ever needed you before. God, nothing's going to happen unless you get involved. God, I need you to come and move on my behalf. God, I need you to move in my life. God, I need you to get a hold of my family. God, I need you to get me out of the current that's dragging me away from you. God, I need you. Should be the cry of every Christian. Just a turtle on a fence post. In the book of Isaiah, turn there with me, chapter number 51. If you find the Psalms, the Proverbs, Song of Solomon, you'll find Isaiah, big book in the Bible, right in about the middle of your Bible, Isaiah chapter number 51. We're going to take a look at the very first verse, Isaiah 51, verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 51, verse number 1 starts out, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord." That's all of us in church. You came today seeking. You came today hungry. You came today thirsting after the word of God. You needed a fresh breath of the Spirit of God. Look at what he says. "Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug." I think one of the things that's plaguing our society today is that people have gotten caught up in the cultural currents and they don't know who they are any longer. And that's why the Bible says, you have forgotten who you are. Look to the rock from which you were dug. You don't get limestone from a marble. You don't get granite out of lava rock. Look to the rock from which you were hewn. You were taken from the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You are no longer that natural dust man that was formed out of the earth. No, you are a spirit being. You are a supernatural person. You're not that old sinner. You're not that old worm. You're not that old man that you used to be or that old woman that you used to be. You're not that dirt bag, that low life or any longer. Now you are a saint of Almighty God. Look to the rock from which you are hewn. Your brother is Jesus, your father is God, and you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You are now powerful, you are strong, you are steady, you can stand against the currents. Why? Because Jesus is the rock and you are part of him. Look to the rock. Remember who you are. Trace back your roots to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's on your side. But not only that, look at this. Enter the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Remember where you came from. Remember, you didn't get up on that post that you're on all by yourself. You had help. And people have forgot who they are, and they forgot where they came from, and they're just riding along the cultural currents, getting dragged away from God. And yet God says, I want you to remember that you were lost. You were dying. You were broken. You were hurting. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't heal yourself. You couldn't do anything on your own. You needed me. Look to the rock. And look to the pit from which you were dug, because God is the God who raised you up. God is the God who gave you strength and stability. He gave you a future and a hope. God is the one who has taken you where you need to be. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 4, verse number 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. As you get yourself under submission to the will and the way of God, God will get a hold of your life and pick you up where you need to be. You will be that turtle on a fence post. Is somebody listening today? Come on. Last thing is this, is that our walk is a walk in the Spirit. This is not a natural thing. Christianity is not a natural thing. It is a supernatural thing. This is not something that you can calculate with your mind, not something that you can see with the eyes or hear with the ears. This is something that in your spirit, man, something that God is doing on your behalf. Your walk, your life now is a supernatural walk with God. Your salvation started out spiritual. So why should your life in the future be any less? Why should you lower yourself to the level that you were once at? You started in the Spirit. You're going to continue in the Spirit, and you will end in the Spirit. This is a supernatural walk with God. This is a spiritual walk. It is not the natural man that is living out his life. It's the life of Jesus Christ being lived in and through you. It is a spiritual thing that is taking place. So stop trying to make things work in the natural. We do not wage war according to the flesh. We wage war according to the Spirit. If you're wondering why things aren't working, maybe it's because you're operating in the flesh rather than operating in the Spirit. Why haven't I got my prayer answered? Why haven't I been delivered yet? Maybe, just maybe, it's because you've been going with the arm of man rather than the arm of God. Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, if you want to turn there now to the New Testament before Colossians, you'll find Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians. So back up a couple books. Find Galatians chapter number 5 if you want to read more about this. Maybe this is speaking to you today. Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse number 16. If you want to learn more about it, read through the end of the chapter. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16 says this, I say then, walk, live out your life. How? In the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's such a simple principle. Notice this. He says, where you walk is where you're going to be. Such a simple principle. If you walk in the Spirit, you're going to get results in the Spirit. If you walk in the flesh, you're going to get results in the flesh. Not going to make it. Not going to happen. You will only go as far as the natural can go if you're walking in the flesh. But he says, walk in the Spirit, and by nature, the fact that you are on that path, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Some of you want to be delivered from sin. Some of you guys want to stop smoking. Some of you guys want to get off drugs. Some of you guys want to stop having those unhealthy, ungodly relationships. The way that you're going to do that is not in the natural. Now, yes, there are natural things that you can do to aid in that process. You like delete the jerk's number out of my phone, right? You don't need that jerk showing up anymore, wanting what he wants the way he wants it. You need what God wants the way God wants it. So by the Spirit, break that soul tie, break that ungodliness, and start to do things in the natural according to what the Spirit says. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As you walk in the Spirit, you will get spiritual results. Just yesterday, I had a lady heard the message, came forward, gave her heart and life to the Lord. She was in tears. Right after church, I met her in the first time visitor area. She said, Pastor, I'm having such a hard time. I'm addicted to alcohol. When I wake up in the morning, the very first thing that I want, my first desire, is for alcohol. All day long, I'm drunk. Every day, all day. I lost my last job, and I'm in danger of losing this job because I'm drunk on the job all the time. My marriage is a mess. My kids are a mess, and I don't know what to do. I said, well, listen, you started in the Spirit today. You gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ today, and give your desire to the Lord. Start to operate in the Spirit. Get rid of the alcohol. Don't go to the bars. Stay away from the clubs. Don't even go down the stupid aisle in the store. If you want to get to the cheese aisle, don't cut through that aisle. Go around through the bread aisle to get to the cheese. But walk in the Spirit, and as you submit your desires to the Spirit of God, get a hold of the Scriptures, God's Word, believe God, humble yourself, submit yourself to them, and God will start working on your natural desires. See, when the flesh links up with the mind, I need a drink. But when the mind links up with the Spirit, I don't need a drink. I need Jesus. Do not be drunk in wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And I told her, as you get that, your mind will be renewed and your passions will be renewed and your heart will be renewed. And eventually your body will no longer have those cravings and those desires, and start to work on your marriage, start to work on your kids, start to work on your job, start to get your mind in place where it needs to be, because the Spirit and the mind together will rule over the flesh, and you'll no longer be dragged down to that level. You are not a low life for any longer. And we prayed together and I encouraged her and sent her off. The story of a farmer who took a trip out to the forest one day, a couple miles from his house. As he's walking through the forest, he sees something off in the distance, bright white, doesn't really know what it is. As he comes closer, he realizes that there's a thing moving around on the ground. Finally, he gets right up on it, and he sees that it's an eaglet, a little baby eagle that had fallen out of his nest. He doesn't know where it came from. He looks around, looks for a nest. He can't find anything. Looks for eagles soaring in the air. He doesn't see anything. And his heart went out to this eaglet. It's just a baby. It would die if it was just left there on its own. So he picked up that eaglet and he took it home with him to the farm. And he raised it the only way he knew how. He had a lot of chickens, and so he brought that eaglet and put them with the chickens. He would feed the chickens in the morning, and the eaglet would come out with the chickens. And the eaglet looked around and saw all the chickens pecking at the ground. And so the eaglet started to peck at the ground like a chicken. Started to get bigger and bigger, grew to be the size of a chicken, and got to the point where when he would feed the chickens, the eaglet would come hopping out just like the chickens would, coming out of the coop, right? Eventually, that eagle became bigger than all the chickens, and yet that same massive eagle, full grown, would come hopping out every morning, pecking at the ground like a chicken. Well, one day the farmer had a guest come over and he was staying with him, so he's helping him with the chores around the farm that day. And so they went out to feed the chickens, and he opened up the gate and started to throw the chicken feed out and call for the chickens, and out hops this eagle. Out comes this eagle pecking at the ground. And the farmer's friend looked at it and said, "What is this? You have an eagle?" And he says, "Oh, yeah, I found him in the forest. He was going to die, and so I brought him home and raised him with the chickens." And he says, "This is not right. You can't have an eagle pecking on the ground with chickens. He should be soaring above the skies. He should be hunting. I mean, this is a mighty eagle, and yet he's living a life in a chicken coop. This isn't right." And the farmer says, "I know, but I don't know what to do." And he says, "Well, let me help. Let me help. Would you allow me to do something?" He says, "Sure, go ahead. Go ahead if you think you can help." So he picks up the eagle, and he says, "You're an eagle. You should be soaring. You should be flying. You should be hunting." And he takes the eagle and he says, "Go ahead and fly." And he throws him up into the air, and the eagle comes crashing to the ground. And the farmer says, "Yep, that's the same thing he did when I tried that." He says, "Well, maybe he just needs a little bit more height. Maybe he needs a little bit more time to get going. Maybe in the fall, you know, partway through it, he'll spread his wings and he'll remember who he is. He'll remember what he is. And he'll start to fly." And so he says, "I'm going to take him up to the top of the barn. Is that okay? If he lands, there's some hay down there. He'll be okay." He says, "Go ahead, do what you need to do." And so he goes up to the second floor of the barn, opens up the barn door, and he takes the eagle and he says, "You're an eagle. You should be soaring. You should be hunting. You should be flying high. You shouldn't be in this chicken coop pecking on the ground like a chicken. Go ahead and fly." And he throws him up in the air, and the eagle flops all the way down into the hay on the ground. This time the eagle looks at him like, "What are you doing to me?" And the man says, "This just won't do. I've got an idea. Can I take him to the forest?" And the man says, "Go ahead." So he drives him out to the forest, and this time he goes up onto the highest peak that he can find, the summit of the mountain. There, the wind is blowing across. He has the eagle in his arms, and he says, "I want you to remember who you are. You're an eagle. You weren't meant to be pecking on the ground with chickens. You were meant to be soaring. You were meant to be flying high. You were meant to be hunting." And he lifts the eagle up, and he says, "I want you to remember." And the eagle at first was thinking, "Man, this guy's going to drop me again." But after a moment, he heard a sound in the distance of other eagles calling to him. He felt the wind blowing in his face. He could see for miles and miles, and he could see prey far off on the ground. And as he felt that breeze, he started to lift his wings. And as he lifted his wings, the friend realized, "He's getting it. He's getting it." And he took him and he threw him up into the air, and the eagle soared off into the distance. See, you were never meant to be pecking on the ground with the chickens. You were never meant to be living the low life. You were meant to soar high above the problems in this natural world. You were not meant to be dragged down by the cultural currents that would take you away from who you are and what God has brought you from. You were meant to soar. You were meant to rule. You were meant to reign. You were meant to subdue and to have dominion, to be fruitful and to multiply. And you are not a chicken. You are an eagle. And those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not grow faint. They shall rise up as wings as eagles, and they will fly high above the problems of this earth. You are part of Jesus Christ. You are a supernatural being. You have the authority that God has given you. It's time for us to lift our arms, to lift our lives, and to rise above this natural world, not to peck on the ground like chickens. Church, you are not a chicken. You are not limestone. You are not lava rock. You are breaking from the side of Jesus Christ, the rock, the one true and almighty God. That's who you are. That's where you came from. And it's not easy, but it's the best thing a Christian could ever do. Our life, our walk is a walk of faith. Secondly, our walk is a walk of humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you high. You will soar, and your walk is a walk in the Spirit. You are not a chicken. You are an eagle. Come on. If somebody got something from the Word of the Lord today, give God a great big praise.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.